Hello, everybody. It is October 15th, I believe. Is it October 15th? No, it's October 17th. Oh my gosh. It's October 17th, 8 p.m. here in Vancouver, Canada, one of the most communist countries in the world right now, but most people just don't know it. The land of you need papers to get in anywhere to do anything. So I heard that there's going to be a big rally in about a week. I have to look at the date. I will share that. That has nothing to do with any of the regular rally throwers, which makes me feel very excited that more people are coming on and doing this. So it's for transport. So transportation, people who work for transport, like truckers, etc., they are having their own grassroots rally against these insane passports. And I'm so excited that it's grassroots and somebody else is actually doing these rallies besides the same five people here. So that's going to be happening in Vancouver. I can give more details about that a little closer to the date. I'm really excited to hear that other people are finally waking up and saying no. I'm going to do my ad first, and then I'm going to bring on Rob and Brenda, who are wanting to tell their story to other Canadians, well, and Americans and Australians and UK, but they want to verify that people really are getting injured and badly. And they have a story to tell, and it's really sad about their daughter. And I asked them to come on. Some of you may have seen them on Rebel News. Drea actually did a report with them. But I've asked them to come on, and they're just such great people. And so I really appreciate it, Rob and Brenda. I'll bring them on in a sec. First, thank you, George Weissman, who sponsors my show. I need a sponsor desperately. He really helps me keep going for the AquaCure AC50. What is the body's most important nutrient? By volume, the average body is 62% hydrogen, 24% oxygen, 12% carbon, and 2% everything else. Health science has concentrated on minerals and vitamins, but those are part of only the 2%. When considering proteins and carbs, they miss the importance of hydrogen, how we normally get it, and its role in the body. Hydrogen is the building block of life, and it's involved in virtually every chemical process in your body. Without sufficient hydrogen, the body starts shutting down systems that aren't immediately life-threatening to preserve hydrogen and life. First, the regeneration system shut down, you age quicker and heal slowly. Then the immune system shut down, you get sick easier, and finally, organs start to fail. Science is proving that chronic lack of hydrogen causes or exacerbates nearly every ailment known to man. How do we normally get our hydrogen? What is the best way to get hydrogen back into your body? Why are we low in hydrogen? It has to do with the way they've been farming our food for so long. What is Brown's gas? Learn more at eagle-research.com. Life. Don't forget the hyphen eagle-research.life. And if you do decide to buy the AquaCure AC50, put Liberty spelt normally, not like this, spelt normally, and you will get a 20% discount when you enter that code into the box. It's also a 1-year money back guarantee. I always keep forgetting to mention that George can't say this on social media because, the cabal will take him down. But having the right amount of hydrogen in your system also fends off the things that are floating around in the air right now that, seem to be attacking everybody. So that's good as well. And I love mine. I have like virtually no back pain when I'm using it. I love it. Thank you, George. Also, quickly, don't forget, I am an affiliate for Tower Gardens. So if you guys feel like you need to start growing your own vegetables, check out the link to Tower Gardens. And also, don't forget that the news is starting to say they may start putting mRNA on our lettuce. So, I've given you guys an article for that. You can also Google it. So, if you're not cool with getting Jabba Jabbas all over your lettuce and you don't even know it, feel free to look at Tower Garden. There's indoor, there's outdoor. They're really cool. Even if you're not going to buy one, you should go check them out because you can learn something. Okay, let's bring up Rob and Brenda. From Kelowna, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for. Oh, it's okay.
Oh, dear.
Don't worry about it.
Everybody wants to say hi.
Don't worry about it. This is a. This is YouTube.
Shall I go rescue him? Okay, guys, come on. Come here. It's okay. They think you've come through the door.
That's so funny. When we were backstage together chatting for so long, the dogs were fine.
Yeah. Rob's going to tell them enough is enough. Come on, come back to your beds, guys. Okay. I think we're good.
Also, to my audience, if there's an echo, let me know and I will mute when we speak. I don't think there's an echo. I think we fixed it. But so, Brenda, tell me the story of your daughter, how old she is, where she was working, and why this nightmare began.
So, my daughter's 22 years old. She had just started her career in healthcare, in a long-term care facility in Grand Forks. She was 6 months into her career when she was advised by her boss that today was the day, it was time to go down and get the jabba jabba. And so she did. She just went down and did as she was told. She wasn't aware that she had an option, that she could say no, or that she could ask questions, or, you know, what this all was all about. Like, she really cared about the seniors that she worked with. And she says, you know, Mom, I did it for my peeps. Like, she wanted to make sure that the environment she was working in was going to be safe for them. So after that happened, that was the 30th of December, she then felt very unwell that very same day. I had to go home from work. And the following day, she tried again, went into work. She still felt unwell. She was headache, nauseous, dizzy,
wobbly feeling,
like just didn't feel well, right? Couldn't actually function at work. Same thing the next day. And then it was the weekend. And then, you know, Monday she went back to work. She worked.
Can I ask? Yeah. I guess the people she worked with knew that after she went down and got the jabba jabba, she was continually unwell because they kept sending her home from work. Is that right?
Oh, definitely. Oh, they knew. They absolutely knew. And even the following week, like, she doesn't complain too much, but even the following week, she was still extremely fatigued, still had the headaches. I think the nausea dissipated.
It calmed down a little bit, yeah.
But she just wasn't feeling well. She wasn't feeling herself. And then it was the Monday after that, where she was at work. She worked kind of half a day. She got to sort of lunchtime. Shortly after lunch, she really felt unwell. She managed to make her way into her boss's office, collapsed in the chair. And that's not normally what she would do. She would knock and just ask politely, you know, do you have time? Can I come in? She could barely make it to the chair, collapsed in the chair. And the physiotherapist looked up at her and she said, Tenley, you look awful. You need to go home. Like, she could just even tell by her countenance that she was unwell. And she described it to you. She said her legs were, what did she say?
Jiggly.
Yeah.
She just felt unstable.
Yeah. And so she thought, well, maybe she didn't eat enough. Maybe her blood sugar was low. You know, she just thought something was going on, some kind of a normal reaction, right? She went home. Her boyfriend came, picked her up, brought her home, fed her some lunch and got some food into her. She still didn't feel well. Went to bed that night. The next morning she got up and she couldn't even make it from her bed to the bathroom. She collapsed on the way, like her legs just would not support her. And she kind of hung onto the wall and slid down the wall. And from that day on, they took her to Emerge. She called her boss and said, what should I do? Well, she says, you've got to come in. Like, this isn't normal. You need to get checked out. Come into the Emerge. And so they had her there for, I don't know, 5 hours or something like that, sitting in a chair.
And Rob, I'm supposed to question you both, remember? And Rob, if you know this answer, had they asked her at that time, did you have the jabba jabba, like when she came in?
Well, they knew that she did.
They asked her to.
Did they?
Yeah, okay, all the doctors asked her, yeah.
And I also want to ask, before we keep going on the story, was she healthy before, like no problems? Oh,
absolutely. She was rock climbing, mountain biking. You know, she was volleyball player, and I mean, she's always been a very active girl.
Yeah,
and she's very slender too. I saw her picture. Okay.
I mean, she's taking care of herself for sure. Yeah. Okay. So from Emerge, they didn't really know what to do with her. So they ran blood tests and things. Nothing showed up. Nothing out of the ordinary that would explain what was going on with her. And so they knew they needed some kind of neurology consult. They looked towards Trail. Trail's like, well, we don't really have the specialist here. You better get her to KGH. So she ended up being transported the next day to KGH by
What's KGH?
Oh, Kelowna, sorry.
Kelowna General Hospital.
So that's our tertiary care center here for the Okanagan.
Okay.
So they would have a higher level of care, more specialists and that kind of thing. So they brought her to Kelowna General, and there they ran multiple tests.
Yeah.
Two MRIs, like over the period of a few days, two MRIs. They did a spinal puncture. And all the results from all the tests, like there was nothing they could find that could point to any specific disease or illness. So they came to her after those tests and, you know, they said, well, we'll also do a nerve conduction study and just, which they never did, but they talked about it. And then they came to her and said, well, really, we've ruled out all the scary stuff, right? You don't have Guillain-Barré syndrome. You don't have MS. You don't have ALS. You don't have transverse myelitis. You don't, they rattle these things off and they're like telling her, this is a good thing, right? You don't have these things. We can't find.
But me in the meantime, Rob, was she in, a wheelchair?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She was unable to stand at all at that point.
Right.
So, she was either in bed or in a wheelchair being pushed around.
And like she could move her legs. It wasn't like her legs didn't move. She could move them and she had the sensation in her legs, but they wouldn't hold her. Like it, and she said they felt incredibly heavy. She said it felt like she was walking through mud, like just trying knee to lift her in, legs knee deep in mud. And they just felt so heavy that she couldn't move. And they were cold, like her extremities were so cold. There was nothing we could do to get her feet warm.
No.
And I remember you telling me on the phone, her brain, her function of her mind. What about that?
Well, I definitely, she struggled to concentrate on things and she would lose words and just not even express herself properly. And if you asked her questions, she really struggled to come up with any answers and such, which wasn't her prior to that.
Right.
She was pretty quick with her responses in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, it was so difficult for her and she noticed it sort of even as time progressed that like she loved to read. So, you know, that's how you think you might want to pass some of the time while you're lying in a hospital bed waiting to see the next doctor. But she couldn't focus for more than 15 minutes at a time. Her vision would go blurry.
Yeah.
And, you know, we noticed even her ability to sort of gather her thoughts to be able to speak to the doctor when he did come to her bedside. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, often they'd wake you up at 7 a.m. and there you are and you look at the doctor. He's like, how are you today? And you know, she couldn't put her thoughts together to explain the things that, you know, she wanted to ask him or, you know, it was really challenging for her and it's
still
continued,
is,
right? It's.
And so you're telling me that just like with Drea's interview with you guys, that Tenley doesn't want to come on these shows. Tell me why.
She just finds it totally overwhelming. And like she said, she can't answer the questions, you know, quickly, or it doesn't come to her easily anymore. She has to really concentrate and she gets just exhausted by trying to do that.
Yeah.
And she really doesn't want any attention. Mm-hmm. She's always been a bit of a private person. Like most of her friends, they didn't even know she was injured for
five months.
She just didn't share it with anybody. Just our, you know, our family and her boyfriend's family were really the only ones.
And part of it is denial, right? You can't believe this is going to really carry on this long. Like you just think, okay, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better quickly. And you keep sort of holding out hope for that. And she just didn't want anybody to know. She didn't want to even admit that she took the Jabba Jabba because the more she understood afterwards, she felt like, well, why didn't I ask more questions? Do you know what I mean? So she was almost feeling like, I kind of made a big mistake and she didn't want to admit she'd made that mistake because no one else her age was in that position. Really.
Did they give her informed consent?
No, I don't think they told her anything.
Not even close.
She didn't ask and they didn't volunteer anything.
Well, they told her she might have some flu-like symptoms and it might be sore at the, in her arm.
The standard thing they say.
Yeah. Yeah, and when she had the problems, I had to go home that day and even the next day, they told her, well, that was normal. That's a good sign because it means it's working.
Yeah.
Are they still saying that as she's dragging herself around and can't work and can't use her legs? I mean, are they telling her that's normal?
Nobody's telling her anything at this point, right? I mean, nobody has any answers for her at this point, aside from, you know, now we're starting to reach outside of the, you know, traditional medical community, mm-hmm. because she's had no answers there. They're basically telling her it's all in your head. You've just dreamed this up.
How long after did they say this is all in your head?
Well, she went back after being released from the hospital here.
Yeah.
She saw a doctor again in Grand Forks.
Right.
And that's he's the first one that said, you know, it's, you must have suffered a trauma.
Yeah.
You know, it's affected your brain, you know, this
and
is
your brain. This is your way,
this
of,
is
coping
way of
with the
coping
trauma.
With the trauma. It's shutting down.
I wonder how much he's being paid to say that. Well, I want to say, I don't know if you guys saw this episode, because I found out on the phone that Brenda actually watches my show. I didn't know that. Because I said to her, okay, you can't use the word, you know what, you got to say, I go, I know it's really, really, you know, lame. And then she went, jabba jabba. I'm like, how did you know? I don't know if you two, or at least Brenda, saw the show I did with the two healthcare workers from the States who had the exact same problem after they took it. Mm-hmm. They have brain fog. They can't think properly. They can't work. One of them, both of them had the shake thing for a long time. One of them, she had a hard time using her legs as well.
Yeah.
And they went and got all the tests done. The doctors are like, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But it has probably to do with the spike proteins. I actually probably should have looked that up before I came, but you know, they don't know because they've never used these jabba jabbas before. And so now you went, she went to try and get answers. Now, at what point did you, or did she say, am I going to be given money from my job to that? Like a pay, like when was she just cut off financially?
Well, because she'd only been at work for 6 months, and right after the event that, you know,
caused her to not be able
caused
to work,
her not be able to work right after that event, she had, you know, day and a half of sick time. She didn't have much sick time accumulated, right? So, so when she actually went off on the 18th of January, she had no sick time left. So they're like, finally, they're like, well, maybe you could apply for EI. She didn't know what to do, right? I'm like, well, this is actually a work safe issue. Mm-hmm. This was something at work that they asked you to go down and do. This was part of your employment, and this is an incident that happened at work. So you need to report this through WorkSafe. So we tried that route first, thinking, you know, this was an injury that happened at work. And so that went through a certain amount of time. And in the meantime, it was actually in talking to them, they said, well, have you not applied for EI? So then she did apply for EI, and I think it was a 15 week or something.
Something like 12 or 15 weeks.
Yeah, for sick leave that you could get through EI. So she was able to get that.
And but then, it's only a fraction of your wages.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was at least 15 weeks, right? It still gave her a little bit of something, right? Then WorkSafe denied her claim. Then we put in an appeal.
What was their reason?
Well, it wasn't work-related.
No, it wasn't work-related. And no, it was their lawyer looked at it. They sent it to their medical lawyer or whatever it was. And that person said that there's no scientific basis. There's no evidence that this kind of a situation, you know, in terms of your health would occur due to the jabba jabba.
And so you know what? They don't want to set a precedent that all these people, you know how like nobody wants to be liable for this. Exactly. Okay. And so at what point did, you know, did you ask a doctor to report it as an injury to Canada's VAERS?
Yes. So I encouraged Tammy again. I mean, she needed the trauma of everything that happened, like to deal with all this paperwork and all these things and making the phone calls, like it was way beyond what she could deal with. Right. So I really encouraged her. I'm like, you have to report this. You've got to call back to the people who gave you the jabba jabba, let them know what's happened. Give them. So she finally did that. And then somebody else called her and she said she reported all the same stuff again. So in her mind and from her perspective, she actually did it three times. Once when she called, once when they called her, and once with her family doctor when she explained it all. Now, I know for a fact her family doctor didn't submit anything, and I cannot get a record of anything that was submitted based on the other two conversations she had. They will not produce it for us.
Why? What did they say?
Oh, they tell her she has to fill out a certain form to get the release of information. Then they tell her she has to come in between certain hours of the day. And then the woman that she needs to speak with is never there during those certain hours of the day. Well, she's not mobile, or at least at the time, she wasn't independently mobile. And I mean, she had to rely on her boyfriend to drive her wherever if she needed to get somewhere. Well, he worked till 4 and they closed at 3. Like, it was almost impossible. I said, why can't they just electronically send you this once you filled out the form? You know, and then it became a battle that I'm like, okay, how hard do I push on this thing? Like, I didn't want to put so much pressure on her that she felt like, you know, she wasn't meeting my expectations. You know, like, it's very difficult when you've got an adult child who you can't really treat them as a child anymore, but you really are trying to support them along the way, right? So I stopped pushing. Like, I think if we went the legal route, we could probably get a copy of that report. I still want to see a copy of that report to see how it was written. Because we have certain provincial health officers standing up at the podium saying, you know, this is perfectly safe. We have no other problems besides, oh, yes, some people had, you know, a blood clot. You know, oh, yes, maybe there's a few cases of, you know, heart problems. But nobody's saying that you could possibly end up not being able to walk again.
So was there no doctor that was around and that said, I need to report this as a reaction? I think I remember on the phone you saying nobody wanted to do it, kind of thing.
Nope.
Every one of the doctors and specialists all asked, you know, if she had it.
Yeah. But,
and then they would just raise their eyebrows and continue with other questions.
And it would be written in the record, like in the medical record, like that each physician wrote up. They specified in there exactly what she had, including the brand name. But nobody went so far as to say, let's write this up. It was months before I finally got her family doctor to actually add to her file that this could possibly be temporally related to the Jabba Jabba. But nobody was willing to actually file a report. Nobody was willing to, yeah.
Nobody is going to go out on a limb.
No.
Well, we know, obviously now, 18, 19 months into this, all the doctors coming forward saying, they're going to just take away our license or fire us from the hospital. Mm-hmm. We can't say anything. We can't say, oh, this was a Jabba Jabba injury. They'll call you a clown. They'll call you loony. I heard a tape where they were reprimanding one doctor and saying, do you need psychiatric help? He's like, what? This is the gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, now, she was in a wheelchair. Now, she's progressed a little bit. She has a walker now. Is that right?
Yeah. She really didn't want to be in a wheelchair. And so she moved to a walker about 5 months in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shortly after the GoFundMe, right? Yeah, about 5 months in, she moved. We actually managed to find a physiotherapist in Grand Forks who had experience with neurological injuries, which was just a godsend for us to find somebody who had some concept how to help her learn to, like the functional process, the mechanical mm-hmm. process of walking, right? Whereas prior to that, she had physios who said, well, do 50 leg lifts and do, you know, 10 of these. And it would just exhaust her, but it wasn't serving the purpose to teach her how to walk again, right? So
she was just paddling. Paddling with her feet.
Yeah, to all, move all along. Her weight on the walker.
Even in the wheelchair, it was just, you know, paddling with her feet.
Yeah.
And, you know, using her arms on the wheels. But with the walker, she, you know, support all her weight on her arms and her feet. She could just kind of paddle along with her toes.
To move forward.
So she had to learn how to properly take a step, you know, land on your heel, roll to your, you know, front of your foot. And
then engage your quads. She had to think about it, like the mental...
And it was exhausting.
Focus that it took for her to just get one foot in front of the other so that it looked like proper walking. And now, really, if you were to watch her walk, it looks very normal, her gait. Like, she's really progressed well in that. However, she still can't stand without hanging onto the walker or something, or at least blocking her knees against something.
And she was engaged, right? And
she's recently been engaged, yes.
Yeah.
And he's taking care of her, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's amazing. Like, he is absolutely amazing. I mean, what the two of them have gone through already in such a short period of their relationship. I mean, most married couples don't go through that in a lifetime, right? Like, he's phenomenal. He's able to calm her down when she gets worked up. He just knows what she needs. He knows how to encourage her. And I mean, without him, I don't know where she'd be, really. It's fabulous.
Oh, Okay, is there anything else about that story that you want to say before we move on to your personal story now, Brenda, with where you work and the nightmare going on there? Is there anything we've missed about Tenley?
She puts on a brave face.
Yeah.
You know, when people ask her how she's doing, she's, oh, I'm walking fine. You know, big smile on her face. But, I mean, she can't even take her hand off the walker to open a doorknob. She has to sit in the walker, open the door, you know, and then stand up again. So everything is on her arms. All the weight is on her arms. So she says she's walking, but she's going through the motions of walking.
Yeah. I mean, we're very positive, though. Like, we believe that the right people have been brought into our life recently who have such a passion to help her in you know, different ways than, you know, like some sort of prescription or something, mm-hmm. right? Like in terms of diet and different things to maybe, you know, cleanse her body of what it is that's damaging it right now, right? Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of Tenley, that's just, it's really positive where we are now. And she's hopeful and she's got something to look forward to. And, mm-hmm. you know, she got a lot of support. We had somebody recommend to us, like when she had no income, when her EI ran out, we had somebody recommend a GoFundMe. And we're like, oh, like, we don't know how to do that. mm-hmm. And I happened to be talking to a friend and she says, this must be so hard. I said, you know, the hardest part is like, financially, how does she manage? What does she do now? She can't work. Like,
so in other words, you guys don't have access to this Trudeau and Tam big announcement they made on the news that anyone who's injured will have access to money, but no doctor wants to report it.
No, because they can't come up with a diagnosis. Like, what are they going to put in there as a diagnosis? They can't, they have no,
they shouldn't have to. It's like, she's healthy. She's fit. I saw her.
Yeah.
She's never had a problem with her brain or her body. And then right after the jabba, she felt sick. The sickness didn't go away. And then she couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I know.
In other words, they should say, hey, because this is a brand new mRNA jabba, we have no idea what's going to happen to people, but we're seeing these things happen. Did you guys hear about the Creston group of nurses that just took out an ad in their paper?
Yes, I read it. Yes. Yeah.
They're seeing weird stuff too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And as more healthcare workers are losing their jobs, they're coming out and saying, here's what's really going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad to hear the stories.
Yeah. Well, I am so sorry to hear that Tenley's going through this, you guys, and you're just so strong. And it's really good that you've decided to come out with it because it can help her story, help other people. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question that's kind of, what's going to happen? She can't take the second jabba. Oh. Is she going to be locked out of society too?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She can't fly. She can't. I mean, she wanted to do like a destination wedding. Well, that can't happen. She can't fly. She can't go into a restaurant. Like, even trying to organize a wedding, knowing that she can't have two of these jabbas in the arm, like, how do you even navigate all this, right?
Well, and you know, because you work in interior health, that mm-hmm. Bonnie came out with what's a legitimate, you know, allergy that you can't do it. And it was, you reacted to dose one. Well, how is Bonnie going to find that out and okay it if nobody will report it?
Yeah.
Exactly. And her reaction wasn't an anaphylactic kind of thing. And basically, Bonnie's rules are, okay, if you took this one and had this kind of reaction, well, then just take a different kind. So essentially, there's no reason why you can't take a different kind, or at least maybe just delay it and get your second one just a little later if you have certain medical issues.
Which one did she take, actually?
The one that starts with M.
Oh, God. Moderna with an M?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, Rob, you have a wife now that might lose her job because of all this madness. Brenda, what's going on at work? Can you tell me what your job is and the garbage you're hearing now?
Yeah. So I'm a program coordinator for interior health. And I had an interesting conversation with my bosses last Tuesday, mm-hmm. where suddenly in a meeting that was purposed for a different, you know, subject matter. They just brought up, so what are your intentions? And I said, well, what do you mean, what are my intentions? Well, we just were wondering, you know, there's a mandate now for all staff. They need to get the double jabba. And we're wondering what you plan to do. And I said, as far as I know, there's no mandate for all staff. I understand there's a mandate for residential care and assisted living. And I mean, trust me, I've been watching these mandates come up and I've read them from start to finish. And they said, well, we expect one. It's coming soon. And I said, well, and you know, they're aware of the situation with Tenley, obviously. I mean, they know what's been going on in our family and what we've been dealing with. And so I'm sure it was a difficult conversation for them to start with me, but nevertheless, they started it. And I said, well, how is it that you know what my status is? Why are you asking me what my intention is? Obviously, you know that mm-hmm. so far, my intention is not to follow down the same path that Tenley went. Like, how disloyal would that be to her if I ran out there and did that when I see what happened to my daughter? I mean, among other reasons. So, I mean, I questioned them. I said, why is it that you have access to my private information? Well, oh, well, we asked about that. And we were told it was okay under the public health order. And I said, but there is no public health order that applies to me.
So you work from home.
Correct.
On a computer.
Correct.
And you're not going in and out of hospitals or care homes?
Never, never have. I've never done any patient care. My role is totally and completely administrative. I mean, I faint when I go in a hospital. Like, I don't go anywhere near that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I can handle data and I can produce things.
So, and you're not even in an office with other people?
No.
No, I've been home since March 13th. I've not been in the office of 2020.
Of 2020, yeah.
So yeah.
A year and a half, you haven't been in the office.
Yeah.
And so did you say to them, why are you worried about me? I don't work anywhere, just my house.
That's exactly what I said. How is it that you feel that this applies to somebody who works remotely? I said, it makes no sense. It can't, that's not a public health initiative because I'm not interacting with any public, right? Like I'm not impacting anybody's health. I'm making a decision for my own health, but I'm not impacting anybody else's health. And, you know, there were no answers for any of those questions. And, you know, basically they just said, oh, well, we just want to draw this to your attention, right? October 26th, that's the day that, you know, you need to at least have one jabba.
And that actually, you were telling me, wasn't true.
It was not.
So you went and looked at Bonnie's order.
Correct.
Tell me what it said. It did not say that clerical, well, you're more than clerical, but clerical workers that are not in the care homes or hospitals have to do it, right?
Right. Well, on that date, there was no order that covered all acute staff and whatever. So at that date, it was only residential care, assisted living, and some mental health care facilities, right? So that order we'd known about already since August. She released that one in August. She changed it three times. The latest version of that, I think, was October 6th because she kept sort of editing things that, you know, people were questioning her on. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing yet for the rest. They just anticipated it. And so they were moving forward in anticipation of the order. The order didn't come out until Friday. And Friday, when I reviewed the order, when you look at the order, when you read it carefully, and you look at the definition of staff, and you look at the definition of a care facility or a site, it defines as places where care is delivered. And staff who deliver care in these facilities where care is delivered. And there's nowhere in that document, there's one place where they write administrative and managerial mm-hmm. under the definition of staff, but then anywhere else where they use staff, they always add the definition of the care facility where they say where care is delivered, right?
So did it look like they meant managerial if you're around and in those facilities?
Absolutely. So imagine a manager in a hospital who's on the floor and she's managing the nurses or, you know, someone who's moving throughout the, I mean, you know, okay, you can make an argument for that, but how do you make an argument for someone who is in a site where there's no interaction with public, no interaction with patients? And it's not written that way. I'd like a lawyer to look at it and tell me if they can read it differently than I can. I've read it three times. It's a 25-page document. I cannot find anything that says that pertains to me. And so, yet, pressure's there.
So you told the woman that was trying to get you to take it, you told her that, no, this order doesn't include us. What did she say?
No, because that order came out Friday.
Oh, okay.
At 4 3:54. Most people finish work at 4. 3:54, the email comes out saying all staff. So from IH, and the letter that comes out from IH, it says all staff. It doesn't break it down. But when I read Bonnie Henry's order, it doesn't say the same thing. So I haven't had the discussion with them. I expect they'll be setting up meetings for this coming week, because really we have 1 week in which to organize all this. Like, I can't imagine how all these people are just going to suddenly leave their workplace in a week, be put on, I guess, 3 weeks unpaid leave, and then after that you're fired. How do you handle that? How do you handle just all these people leaving the workforce? I mean, who's going to do my work? Like, I don't even understand. I don't know.
Okay, I know. Welcome to hell. Okay, now, you told me that it was ridiculous how they were trying to get away with saying people had the C19er. So they were saying they were cases of C19er. What did you see being called they have the C19er? Where it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. So this was this past summer in Kelowna, there was a tragic incident where there was a crane that collapsed as they were bringing the crane down. It collapsed on the building. I think it was a total of five people were killed and multiple injured. And it just so happened that where that crane collapsed, that's a building that my mother lives in. So that crane collapse created an emergency situation. So people were evacuated. They had to go to emergency services and register and whatnot. And in the process, I mean, I went with my mom, and the forms that are filled out at the bottom of all these government emergency services forms, they wrote the word
C19er.
C19er at the bottom of every one of those forms where it says signature. That's what they filled in on the form. I was flabbergasted. I'm like, this has nothing to do with that.
How is this related?
Absolutely nothing. And it wasn't like the forms were pre-printed and maybe they had been using them for situations where they had to, you know, evacuate people or help them find accommodation or whatever. These forms were specifically printed for this particular emergency, and it was written in by the person that was filling out the forms in pen.
And who was that person? What was their title filling it in?
They were emergency services, right? So the support workers that come in and they take the information from the seniors who were sitting there, you know, what do you need in terms of clothing, or what do you need in terms of food, or, and, you know, and they'd give them vouchers and things. So all these forms are almost like vouchers in order for them to go pick up some groceries or to go pick up some underwear or whatever they need while they're displaced from their home.
Did you say something to that person?
No, because at the time, I mean, I was just supporting my mom. It wasn't until I brought the forms home and I looked at them and I said, what on earth? Why would that be written on there? Right. And then the more I understand about what's happening with this whole, you know, emergency situation within BC, is there's funding that flows specifically for that particular C19 situation. And anything that can, you know, funnel in under that, that's all dollars that they can just freely spend any way they want. And I mean, of course, I'm surmising some of this, but it just shocked me when I saw that written on there. Makes no sense.
I mean, we know that they've been trying to say every flu is that, every pneumonia is that. Mm-hmm. We know the test is a joke too, but to actually, for them to have the balls to put it down for a crane hit a building and people had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, they're just laughing at us.
Yeah.
The fraud, just the fraud.
Yeah. Yeah.
My gosh. Ugh. Is there anything else you know about other times they've called it the C19er? I mean, you don't work in the hospital, but is there any other stuff you know of, or mainly just that?
Well, I mean, I know it based on what some care workers have shared with me, right? Okay. And they're more and more coming out and are going to share their stories, but it's just, it's just even the duplicitous nature of how they're labeling someone who has one or two Jabba Jabbas, right? And you're not called, you know, fully covered under the Jabba Jabba unless 14 days have passed, right? So people are presenting an emergency. They're saying the hospitals are full of these patients, when in fact, they're not overwhelmed with those patients. They're overwhelmed with people who are coming in with injuries after the fact.
And they're saying it's unjabba-jabbed.
Correct. And they're calling it the C19er. And it's not. It's people presenting with injuries. And, you know, even when they talk about what's happening in the ICUs, people who are going into the ICUs are saying, you know, these people in the ICUs, they have comorbidities. Like, we need to talk about that. We need to talk about, how do we keep people healthy? How do we get people to maybe, do they need to lose some weight? Maybe they need to start, you know, supplementing their diet with something. Maybe they need a little exercise. Like, get your body healthy, get your immune system healthy. But none of that message is coming out, right?
Nope.
It's about creating fear. It's about making this thing like such a big monster. Like, it's tying up our whole system. Our system has been tied up for years. We always operated over 100%.
Yeah.
Like, always. And for them to stand up there and say, oh, we're operating over 100%. Yes.
Well, they definitely will be when everyone's fired for not wanting to be part of this garbage.
It just saddens me. You've got healthcare workers that managed to work through the entire crisis. Called heroes. Know how to gown up, know how to work with infectious disease, and now suddenly they're choosing to, you know, take care of the body the way they're choosing to take care of their body, and now they can no longer work and provide care to these people that they love and they've come to know. I mean, the people who live in long-term care facilities, that's their home. And the people who provide care, they become like part of their family to them. And now they can no longer go in there and do that for them. Now they're creating a situation where these poor people, sometimes even their family can't come in and see them.
Rob, how do you feel about what this has done to your family? Hmm. The two women in your life that you love. Do you have another daughter?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We love her too.
Okay. Two of the three?
Yeah.
How does it make you feel that this has, what it's done to your daughter and now what it's doing to your wife?
Well, it really angers me. I'm not the kind of person that gets, you know, angry, but I'm frustrated. I'm angered. I just want the truth to be known. And I just don't understand how people can just be sheep and just do what they're told and not question it. I mean, even my little children, when they were little and I tell them something, they'd say, well, but why? And I'd go, 'cause I said so. I'm the dad. Well, that's what they're doing to us. 'Cause I said so. You have to listen to me. Well, then at some point my kids got to the edge where they, well, we don't have to listen to you. We can outrun you. We're bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people just have to smarten up, wake up, and stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that by, you know, making our story known, that it might wake some people up, it might smarten them up. We don't know. We hope, we pray. It's all we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you're going to get an invitation to something. I won't say on air, but you're going to get an invitation from a friend of mine because they think you're pretty special and pretty cool. Now, let's the GoFundMe link. I didn't get that from you. I know that she's hurting. Right? I mean, they don't have money. So the GoFundMe link, do you know what it is? Or
I can send it to you.
Okay. So after this episode, guys, I will add that I'm kicked off Facebook for like 13 more hours. So tomorrow I can add that link to Facebook. And then
she was a bad girl.
Yeah, it's too many shows like this.
Probably one of your guests were bad.
Yeah. No, they are bad all the time. You guys have been the best, but you've been watching my show. So like it's in your brain.
I quizzed him.
I said, okay, now what are you going to say? How are you going to say it?
So on the YouTube, I'm streaming live on two YouTube channels right now, Liberty Talk with Odessa and Liberty, LIBRTI on YouTube. I will add the link there and then tomorrow I'll add on Facebook. But what is it? Can you just tell us what it is?
Oh, okay. So, okay, let me go back to it.
I'll see if it lets me.
I just texted it to you, but the actual, it's just GoFundMe and then it's /7164C3C8.
Okay, I'm going to repeat this back because it looks like I'm allowed to comment here. Sometimes I can't comment. So www.gofundme.
So GoFund and then .me.
Oh, okay. Forward slash, right? 7164C3C8.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm putting that down. 10, please. If everybody's watching today, gave $5, you could help this this girl out. And we appreciate that you guys are using this opportunity to warn others. Yeah. And I'll be following up on your story as to what's going on with work.
Yeah. Yeah, this week is going to be dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at this as an opportunity to educate people, mm-hmm. because not everybody has been immersed in this in the way I have, right? Like, I think it's obvious. Like, aren't people looking at Uttar Pradesh? Aren't they looking? And if you say something like that to somebody, they're like, what are you talking about? They don't know what's happening in India. They don't know what the stats are in the UK. They don't know what's happening in Israel. And I do, because I'm following this so closely because of what's happened with Tenley, right?
Like, yeah.
And so I feel now my next conversations with my employers is going to be to help educate them and to share with them, like, please take a look at this. What about natural immunity? Let's talk about all the points in the order. Let's talk about the things where it says, you know, the jabba jabba is the only option. Well, let's talk about early treatment. And I really want to help educate them and to, you know, maybe they can take it up the chain a little further. Like, I feel like I'm in this position for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I feel I can speak because they know what's happened with Tenley. Right. So they're not
It just like an absolute beyond ridiculous nightmare that you watched this put your daughter, who was once healthy, into a wheelchair. Then they tell you you're next.
Yeah.
And too bad.
And too bad. And if you don't do it, sorry, there's no more job for you. It's like, how does this suddenly become a condition of my employment?
Well, the agenda, that's why.
I know. But, you know, with a rational mind, right? If you were just logic, there's no logic in this.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, do you have a job for your wife?
Oh, I always need a good administration person, that's for sure. I'm terrible with paperwork, so. She already does it for me, but it's a non-paying position.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Well, I'm sure that whatever happens, Brenda, you're so bright, and somebody from maybe a smaller company that can't get bullied around, I'm sure will take you in an instant.
Thank you.
But keep fighting. I say just keep showing up for work after you're fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, log in every day.
They'll
come and take your equipment.
Just cut my access off and it's done, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys so, so much. Let's keep in touch. And if you hear anything else, anything you find out from inside the gates of the hospitals, do text me and give me a call.
Okay. Super.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Take care, guys. I'm going to sign out too. Actually, here, no, I'll remove you guys first. Bye, guys. I am going to be doing a very important quick episode tomorrow about a document that is so unbelievably important right now that an Indigenous man has, who is a true chief, not the ones, you know, elected by the gov, not the ones put in place by the gov, but a true hereditary chief that we had a meeting with. And there's a document that is so legit and so important, and Trudeau knows he has it. There's been an extension for 5 weeks on something. I'm going to cover it tomorrow. I'm actually going to bring them on as guests. They're all over the place right now, setting up shop in every province. These beautiful Indigenous people, many of them clan mothers and chiefs. They have told Trudeau we have this document and that makes something null and void. So they said to me, Odessa, make sure you bring us on to explain it because you're just going to destroy trying to describe it. And I'm doing that right now. So instead, I'm going to give you guys a link to sign something if you're Canadian. And it's about saying, you know what? And this is legal. This is lawful. This is a way to do it. We have decided we don't want you to govern us anymore. And the beautiful Indigenous people of freedom are inviting all nationalities to sign it. And then you become part of this nation. You're not signing your life away to, you know, go do things you don't want to do, but this is it. And we need 5 million signatures. So there's going to be a huge pump of getting everyone to sign this document. And we can't do it without the Indigenous, and they can't do it without us, because it needs to be 5 million signatures really quick. And Trudeau knows about it. This chief has communication with Trudeau. So tomorrow, even before they come on the show, there's three of them I'm bringing on from our Zoom meeting. Even before I bring them on the show, I want to get everyone signing this document. I'm pretty sure it explains really well what it is, because, you know, I'm going to sabotage exactly what it is. So please look out for that. I will post it on Facebook tomorrow. I'm also going to put it on Liberty, this one. I'm also going to put it on the two YouTube channels. And we got to send this thing out to every person you know, even if they've taken the jabba jabba, but don't want to have to take a third and a fourth and a fifth. They don't like what's happening with the restaurants and apartheid. Every single person you know, this has to get 5 million signatures within 5 weeks. And of course, there's always a horrible deadline because that's what they do to us. But tomorrow it's on. That's probably one of the most important episodes I'm actually going to ever do, is tomorrow's quick clip to give you the link to sign this document. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please share this episode. You know, if you know people up in the Okanagan, I think they're going to be really interested to find out what's going on in Okanagan. Just, you know, we need more people to come forward about the injury that so many people are having, and it's being blocked. And that's because the doctors get their licenses threatened because they can't prove anything after the jabba jabba, except anaphylaxis. So if 3 weeks later you drop, they'll just go, oh, it was something else. So they've set up this system so that you can't report it. And so we need every person coming forward, either nurses and doctors that have seen what's happened to people, or if you or a family member have experienced an adverse reaction, please email me at libertytalkcanada@gmail.com. libertytalkcanada@gmail.com. And I will bring you on once I talk to you on the phone and, you know, I vet you. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Rob and Brenda. Signing out. See you guys tomorrow. Have a good sleep.